Ladies and gentlemen, it is without a doubt a good time to be in the superhero business. Our net income is up 14%. Our latest film, G-Men World War, just grossed shy of $1.7 billion worldwide. And this fall, we break ground on our newest theme park outside of Paris. The branding opportunities are endless. But you know, none of that really matters because job one is managing and supporting the brave superheroes that save lives. They're in harm's way each and every day for us. Man, I love that intro. And since when did hopeful and naive become the same thing? We get to find out. And who else would tear up a $45,000 check? We are talking the highly anticipated Amazon's The Boys Season 1, Episode 1, The Name of the Game. The AfterBuzz After Show starts right now.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Is that your big, is that you if you were a superhero?
Excuse me, Tehran, I'm just the man of goodwill and thumbs ups.
I feel like you would be that person.
I would.
Yeah, and I'm German, so I'm always the super villain.
Hello, everybody.
You couldn't wait to tell people you were German. You
that's my first sentence ever.
It's his superpower.
It is superpower.
It is actually my superpower, Natalie.
Are you? I'm not gonna ask.
Oh, no, please do. Please do.
I don't know
how
it works so much in LA, but I think it's gonna work great on this panel because we are talking all things Amazon The Boys Season 1, Episode 1, The Name of the Game. And the name of me is Tehran. I will be hosting this panel, and I'm alongside some of my favorite panelists. All the way to the left, the man behind the curtain, Stephen Lemieux, is in the building.
Man, this show is so good. I just wanted to keep watching it. I'm just going to crack open a few cold ones with the boys.
That's right, with the boys. He's actually one of my favorite panelists, that's for sure. So if you're watching us, you're in for a treat. And to my left, the most Germans love David Hasselhoff. This one loves superheroes.
That's right, but David Hasselhoff is also a superhero for us. He's
Ben
actually
Schnell,
the business.
Yeah. Our Batman is in the building.
Oh, yeah, but I'm the bad Batman, all right? Because we always play the supervillains, people.
You know, the way you said that sounded creepy and evil. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you.
The bad Batman. I felt that German superpower.
I appreciate that.
And that's how it is. I thought the show was fantastic. Aww. We're going to get into it. We're going to talk a lot of great topics. We're going to be talking about The Seven. We're going to talk Starlight, because that was star bright right there. Madeline Stilwell, man, she's the one. Compound V, Huey. Billy Butcher, Huey taking that red pill. They're taking action. Taking it Homelander. See what I did there? top three superhero deaths in movies. Getting into some amazing news and gossip, so you're going to want to stay tuned. And of course, we're playing this new superhero special segment game, Worst Case Scenario, where we take a superhero's run-of-the-mill power and tell you what's the worst case scenario that can happen with it, and so much more. Stay tuned. What were your overall thoughts on this episode? The Boys, highly anticipated, by the way.
So I was just chilling at work, and one of my coworkers was watching it next to me, and I just hear him go, "Whoa, what?" And I was like, I have to watch this show. And then I watched it, and about 5 minutes in the episode, I go, "Whoa, what?" And that kind of describes what this show was to me. I'm so excited to cover a good superhero show that has the dark elements that I'm looking for, but also takes a take on it that's fresh and new, like a perspective that we haven't really seen before. And I wasn't dissatisfied at the end of the first episode. I think this is kind of what Umbrella Academy should have been.
Or at least what they thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
Because I loved Umbrella Academy. Let's not get that wrong. We loved that show.
Did
but
you?
This was...
Did you? Did we?
Ben, what was your overall thoughts on the show?
I mean, honestly, they took it to the next level, to be honest, right? I mean, we all know the superhero movies and all the stories and all the TV series.
Sure.
But this was, I mean, as you said, Stephen, the first 5 minutes when I saw the blood, right? We can talk about that. The violence in the first 5 minutes already. I was like, guys, this is crazy. Completely unexpected that she's already like on the street and then the guy comes and boof.
Well, it's great. Sorry, I didn't catch you off.
No, it's good. I'm good. I'm just still excited about it.
That's Steven's superhero power.
Yeah, I'm cut off. I'm Mr. Cut Off.
I appreciate that, though.
Tehran's pullout, if you've seen any of our other after shows.
Don't ask questions you don't want to know the answers to. And you don't want to know how Steven knows this. Please, Steven, continue.
So I love this show because it answers the question everyone asked after Man of Steel. Because Man of Steel opened up the conversation of, okay, he's Superman, but he straight up destroyed an entire city fighting this villain. Millions of people should have died in this fight. what's that look like? And Avengers covered it slightly, where it's like the cleanup crew. Obviously, Spider-Man Homecoming did a great job of it when Michael Keaton's character is like part of the cleanup crew and the lives that are affected by that. But this just takes it to the next level of superheroes being flippant with their powers and the concept that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And what would you do if you had superpowers? Would you be the best person forever? Exactly. Or would you give in to some of your temptations? And even worse, what if a lot of people had the power over others?
I mean, so if I can just join in very quickly, because what I really find very interesting about the show is it's not just about, hey, it's brutal and people die and all that kind of stuff, but I feel it really explains a lot about people's anxieties and what people feel emotionally today in our world, because I think it's a reflection of the reality that we live in. Think about it for a second, right? We have these superheroes as celebrities and they have this superpower and it feels like they can do whatever they want, wow. Right? And I feel like today when you go out and you see celebrities and sometimes something happened to them, you can feel like they get away with it because they feel like they're celebrities, you know, they have the specific sauce or whatever, you know.
I really appreciate everything you're saying, Ben, and after hearing what you said, I do realize you're right. Being German is your superpower.
Because that was, I know.
I didn't really hear what you said, but how you said it.
You cowed Tehran into submission.
I know it's going to come up. No, oh, man.
I like that other people are seeing that too. Right. Like, it's such a valid point because, you know, they do such a great job of pairing the superheroes into not just celebrities, but politicians to a certain degree as well. And they're basically like nuclear weapons in a certain way. They're being traded as if they're weapons, which I think is just so an interesting thing that we've never seen before in this genre of content. So before I keep going and vamping, I guess we should probably get into our first topic.
Well, I would like to give an overall thought.
I don't want to hear them.
I know you don't. I know you don't want cut off. However, I would say this. You made a lot of comparisons of movies that were dead on. I'm going to take Sky High, Disney Sky High, if it met Watchmen and it became a movie and or a show. And this is what it is. It's so real. It's so true. True to form. We have not seen this take. We've spoken about this take before on superheroes, but we've never seen it come to life. And they did an excellent job. And I'm not saying this because people often think that we're an after panel, so we have to like the show. Oftentimes, we don't like the show. Mm. If you don't believe us, watch us on The Gifted. Steven and I had a lot to say. However, this time, I think they did it exactly right. Mm. The special effects were dead on. It was bloody. It was gory. And I'm never going to dislike something that starts off with a warning that says adult content, graphic language, graphic violence, nudity, song sexual content, and in a politically incorrect way, rape. Right. That was the first warning we got watching and going into the show. Right. And it did not disappoint. This is a great show. And we're getting into the first topic, as Steven mentioned, because our first topic is The Seven. That is, in some ways, you would think that should be the preliminary storyline, but it's a simultaneous storyline as we see the unraveling of Huey, as we're going to talk about later. So let's discuss The Seven, and if you're not aware who The Seven are, of course, Val Industries, which is a take on Voight Industries from Watchmen, and this is, would you say the heroes are more DC Comics than Marvel?
Yeah. Let's, I mean, it's like a mixture in a way. You know,
yeah, so. It's a mixture, but you're right in the fact that like the main ones are.
Exactly. So we get A-Train, we get The Deep, Translucent, Black Noir, Queen Maeve, Homelander, and Lamplighter, who we don't see but is retiring.
Seems like Green Lantern to me, yeah.
Exactly. Right. Something happened to him. So we get The Flash, Aquaman, basically a Batman if he had a kid with Black Panther, Wonder Woman, Superman, and then Green Lantern, who retired. And then Starlight, who's kind of a take on a Stargirl in a way.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most similar one is obviously like The Deep is definitely Aquaman. For and sure. Queen Maeve is straight up Wonder Woman. Like 100%.
They filmed
her scenes like exact like it. Homelander is like a combination between Superman and Captain America though, because they really kind of blended those.
You got this. Exactly. That's what I felt too.
Because Superman wasn't ever, I mean, Superman is known as an American icon, but Superman was never, like, designed to be the super patriot, like, flag-waving dude. It was always, like, he just is an American icon. Captain American was always, like, the guy. He's literally wearing the American flag,
yeah.
You know? But Captain America is not as powerful as Homelander.
Homelander was a very powerful entity, but let's talk about the other superheroes first. What were your thoughts on A-Train?
very funny guy, to be honest, right? I felt like he's the kind of funny guy in the whole group, to be honest. I think he just says whatever he wants. He doesn't give a fuck, you know, about what he's saying. And I think he always does it wrong in a way. So that's why Madeline is always saying, hey, you need a script. You have to give him a script. As soon as you're on television, you have to give him a script. Otherwise, he's going to fuck up. So, yeah, I like it, though, because I feel it has a little kind of like a freshness to it. You know what I mean? So everyone seems a little serious at the beginning, right? But then he comes along and says just something stupid. And I really like that.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of reminds me of Michael B. Jordan's Human Torch from Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
With like that kind of like cocky attitude. But then they take it a step further when you enter the bar of indulgences of superheroes, and we hear what he says about Robin, we hear all these things, and it really skews your perception of heroes quite quickly.
Yeah, and if you're wondering, he specifically said, I ran so fast through this B-word that I swallowed one of her molars like a bug on the freeway. And that's the scene where they're listening in into their private conversation. A-Train came off to me as one of the most realistic ones, simply because I could see that character. All the characters were very realistic. Yeah. We don't know enough about Queen Maeve yet, but we did get a little insight into the Deep. What were your thoughts on that?
I was like, I mean, I have to say it, right? Hashtag me too. Honestly, guys, right? I think this is one of the most recent topics we have in reality right now, right? And I think when I saw this scene, I was like, when he did that, when he let his pants down, we can talk about that already, right? I was like, whoa. I mean, this twist was crazy to me. I didn't see that coming, right? But then I thought about her reaction and then thought about reality on the world we live in. I said, wow, this is basically exactly what we should think of, you know?
That's exactly what's happening. And this is why we have Me Too, is because A, it starts the conversation, and B, even when you made your statement, I had so many inappropriate comebacks that I didn't say. That's what the point of this is to start this conversation. This is a real thing. And since we're taking a real take on superheroes, we get that realism that comes from what the Deep did. That was...
You know what? I feel honestly...
Despicable.
For sure. I think The Boys, for me, makes superheroes very human in a way. And that's what I like about the show so much, right? You can see every character has something very human and something very unique. Like, we all do, right? But I think the usual movies that we all see with superheroes, you always think, oh my God, this person's untouchable, right? He's like so much higher than we all are, right? But this show tells everyone, hey, they do the same shit that we all would do if we would have the same superpowers.
I love how your German superpower self-censors. Steven, what do you think?
It's just tough. It's like, it's really hard to watch because like you watch that and you're like, yeah, this is pretty realistic to how the entertainment industry is for
so long.
Yeah.
And it still is, even though we tried to clean it up as we're trying.
Yeah, it's like women have it the worst. Guys also experience those things too, but definitely not on the scale. And like, this reminds me of the whole Louis C.K. thing, honestly.
He first did it.
Yeah, he pulls down his pants, starts touching himself. You're like, oh, so this is like a take on the Louis C.K. thing. And then he plays the card like, I'm second in command here if you want to keep your job. And I'm like, okay, there's the Harvey Weinstein. And then you're like, okay, there's the Speedo tan. And it just kept showing his ass. And you're like, okay, done.
And also, something very interesting is how easily he got over it to the point where he was actually offended that Starlight wasn't over it when they had that confrontation. So the concept is when you're talking about it in this particular episode, you're looking at it as you're superheroes. We're supposed to trust you. And then this is what we see.
I think he did a very smart move, to be frankly honest, right? We can all see that in the big meeting room, right? When he lets his pants down but he realizes, hey, my God, she doesn't want to do that, right? He realized that in a second, and he basically turns it all around, making himself the victim and say, hey, you know what? You were trying to attack me here right now. Look at all the monitors right now. Look, they're all damaged, and you did that. So you don't want to have me to talk about that with people, right? So he's a smart dude in a way, right? But I think he's really taken advantage of his position, and I think he thinks that he's even higher and better than the rest in the seventh, except maybe Homelander, to be honest. But I think he's number second. He said that a couple of times. Hey, I'm number second. But I think he's not really. He just thinks that, you know?
Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen. Do we get a redemption from the Deep? That's a big question. As far as redeeming characters, the one who can't be redeemed, Translucent. Wow. Invisible Man?
Who would have thought that he's a pervert?
Yeah, exactly.
Who would have thought the guy who can turn invisible and is, like, probably has other powers or something, like, is a pervert.
Let's get back to the topic at hand. The topic at hand is Translucent. What were your thoughts on that character?
I mean...
exactly how the Invisible Man would be, I think.
Yeah, like everyone would be if we would be all invisible.
Whoa.
Come on.
Think about that for a second. Come on.
Not my... Actually, you know what's interesting? It's interesting. Even on stage, I do this thing, and a friend of mine, Mateen Stewart, actually has a joke where he says, if someone picks invisibility as their power, they are a pervert.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I don't think I would be that person if I had that power.
Of course not.
I know I would.
No, you would never.
I wouldn't.
Of course, right? Mm-hmm. I would never.
Tehran would never. Oh, yeah.
I can see it in your eyes.
Can we stop doing that? Because the way you're saying I would never doesn't sound like you believe I would never. No. I just don't find that an appealing power. I would steal.
Is that even better?
I think so. I think in the history of morality, I think stealing is way better than pervy behavior.
I think Tehran would probably just use it to avoid people.
That would actually be a
like
number
he'd
one.
See
that's
somebody
great...
walking and he'd just be like, I don't want to deal with this person right now.
That's actually an amazing take on that power. Yes,
he'd be like, he'd be the dude who just like do this to everyone.
Yeah, I would definitely be a horrible person as far as annoying people. I could see going into and the way Translucent took on Huey. I could see something like that, where you are a specter.
Where would you sneak into if you had one place you could sneak into because you're invisible?
I don't think I'm allowed to say on the mic.
But you're not a pervert.
My name's it's the Pentagon. I would sneak into the Pentagon. I would Area 51 it up. If I could sneak into anywhere, then at that point, I'm learning secrets. I've seen naked people. I need some secrets. I want to know what happened to JFK. Right. Like, that's who I would be.
I would check out Facebook. Honestly, guys, what? Think about that for a second. Do we really know what Facebook knows about it and where all our data is going?
Oh,
to?
Like
think
their headquarters.
That. Yeah, of course.
I thought you were like, no. I'm going to be invisible on Facebook.
I mean, that's impossible, by the way. You cannot be invisible on Facebook anymore, even if you would like to. But honestly, guys, think about that for a second. Wouldn't you like to find out more about Facebook, like behind the scenes?
We volunteer them all.
We already have a superpower. It's called
social
Facebook.
Network. Yeah.
But why do you want to go to the Pentagon then?
Because that's one we don't get to see behind the scenes.
Exactly. But Facebook is definitely connected to those guys anyway. Think about that.
Sure. And I'm sure I'd be able to find it in
I'm going
to
cut this now. I opened up a Pandora's box.
If I had to be afraid of someone more than... If I had to be afraid of someone between the Pentagon and Facebook, I'd be way more afraid of Facebook. Facebook knows way more dirty secrets about me than the Pentagon does. Steven, what would you do and where would you go?
I think we should move on to our next topic.
Wow.
Because we've spent way too long on this.
I know. You do this.
Now I want
to
know.
We didn't know enough about Black Noir or Queen Maeve to make a very big determination. Queen Maeve was simply Wonder Woman.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And Black Noir, we have no idea.
He has
knives on his shoulders, so we're just like, okay. He probably uses knives.
He seems dangerous in some way. We don't even know what his power is.
He's probably like super agile. I would assume he's like super agile. He's like probably like a ninja man or something.
It seemed that way, but we're not sure. And then we get Homelander, who I feel like deserves an entire topic on his own.
Yeah.
Homelander was, here's the epitome of
what a hero should be.
And yet we see that he's the exact opposite when it comes down to it.
At the end, unfortunately. Yeah. But he's the most careful.
He is the most careful.
Because even Butcher doesn't know anything about Homelander. He's like, as far as I can tell, he's like who he says he is, and he's great.
The concept of Homelander has to do with, first of all, he reminds me of Ryan in the booth. What's up, Ryan?
Thanks.
Homelander, if you were a superhero, you would be Homelander. If you were a regular person, which you are, you would be Huey. We'll talk about that as well. Homelander is the epitome of the superhero in everyone's minds. And yet he does the most evil of things when he blows up that plane. What did you think when you saw that scene?
I saw it coming from a mile away. Honestly, as soon as the dude, like, talked to Madeline and he's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and say 200 million because I know about something called Compound V. Like, I have no idea what Compound V is at this point. Like, I don't think any of us do because they don't really get into it at all. Like, I think we're just assuming, I assume that it's something that turns people into heroes. Well, when I hear compound, I'm like, oh, it's a chemical compound. And she's like a businesswoman and it would ruin their company. I immediately go to, oh, she's making heroes. That's kind of what I'm assuming at this point. And I could say that's probably the only thing worth killing over.
But we know some of the heroes are born that way, quote unquote, as we see with Starlight, our newest superhero who's joining the Seven. Starlight comes in, and honestly, she is the epitome of the sweet, wholesome Midwest girl.
Yeah.
And she is not ready for what she's taken on. This is her, these are her heroes. Hmm. She grew up with a poster of the Deep, which the Deep obviously uses to manipulate and assault her. She has always wanted a hero. She was in the Little Miss Hero pageants. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we know that there are multiple heroes on this earth.
Yeah, I think she's basically just someone who wants to help people. I think she knows what power she has, and I think she literally wants to help everyone, right? She wants to help people, but when she realizes this is more like a business than really helping people at the end for the other, like, people,
I think it's
she's
like
just concerned about that.
It's like somebody who learns, who wants to be a actress. And I think this is what they're trying to show us, is like somebody who has this, like, stars in their eyes, wants to be an actress, moves to Hollywood, and immediately just goes to...
Go on, but moves to Hollywood and becomes that, and that's a great story to tell, especially right now.
It is.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, I'm just looking for the time. I'm Got looking it. For a time.
But that's what I was thinking. Cool. That's why it's so realistic and talking about real life. She's definitely like an actress trying to become someone in Hollywood. That's exactly how it feels to me.
And she's just, the illusion is being dispelled.
All of it. Exactly. And it hurts. It actually hurts me. She's the most empathetic of the characters. She's the one who I feel the most for. She's the one that makes the statement, since when did hopeful and naive become the same thing? And it was so hard to hear that and watch her just get hurt. You know, I love being on this panel. You guys are as much a part of this panel as all of us. Thank you so much for being here with us at AfterBuzz as we talk about these after shows. We do ask you for one thing as we go on. We want you to join our Seven, and it's easy. All you have to do is leave comments, hit subscribe. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us that 5 stars. Give us thumbs up. Whatever to get the conversation started. We appreciate each and every one of you, and thank you for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We have our own Seven here.
Yeah, we do, actually.
Who's our Seven?
Bathrobe Man?
I thought your name was Pull Out.
Man, I'm trying to change that.
I'm cut off.
I like your outfit, though.
This is amazing.
I'm trying to change that. Okay, Madeline Stillwell. Thoughts on her?
Well, I mean, before we'll get to Huey later. So, yeah, Madeline Stillwell.
Oh, we're going to talk a lot of Huey. Don't worry.
Cool.
Huey,
yeah, because, like,
Huey is... I need to get this storyline because, as I said, you would think this would be the preliminary storyline, but Huey's storyline is clearly at the forefront. That's the one that I'm talking about, story arc all the way.
I see Madeline as kind of just the person who will do whatever it takes to get what she wants done. Especially now that I see that the plane went down, I'm like, okay, great. So that was definitely had to have been Madeline telling Homelander to do this, right? So it's her team of people. She's running Vought. And they have 200 heroes. She's the controller of superheroes. Hmm. So anyone who threatens her position or threatens anything is going to die. That's what I would assume.
She's the Amanda Waller of this universe.
Yeah.
Like, Amanda Waller at a corporation instead of the government. Yeah. I mean, but this is the concept of Amanda Waller of this episode is watching out and explaining like everything. She's the one that's running, pulling all the strings. Even the superheroes are afraid of her. She's like, she's a boss. What's the chat saying? Because the chat has to love this show.
I mean, the chat's digging it, right? Like, Billie Jean Girl says Homelander maybe was just nuts and, like, on his own did it. Eon saying that Nubian King, like, that's a great name for a Black Panther ripoff.
That's actually, okay. That's strong.
And then after watching the show, Renji90998 says, do you support Stain's ideology? Wait, I think that's, like, probably a character that's coming out later, so I don't know about that. So, yeah, I mean, I think the chat's really into the show, and everyone seems super on board. There's 30 people who are, like, totally into it right now, so I'm excited.
Well, guess what, guys? We're going to be binge-watching it with you, so we're going to be watching the episodes and then coming in here and filming episodes after shows as much as possible. One of the most important storylines is going to be Huey. Huey is the first person we're kind of introduced to. We get to see this just a wonderful guy. We get to see his really cute girlfriend, Robin, come in. They have a cute back and forth. And then we get, okay, Stephen, can you do the moment?
What?
So yeah, that moment, we get that moment happening. What were your thoughts about Huey Let's talk about Huey in three parts. Huey number one is, I just work at the store, Huey. Watches his girlfriend die. Huey number two is, I just met Billy Butcher, Huey. And then Huey number three is, we're going to do something, Huey.
Yeah.
Or he takes the red pill.
He's like working at a Radio Shack.
Yes.
Basically Radio Shack.
Yes.
So like this is a kid, like, and I don't want to like discredit anyone who's ever worked at a Radio Shack.
You kind of already did.
Okay. But when you're thinking of like a superhero film, it's like I feel like we're meeting his alter ego right now. Like I think that by the end of the season, Huey either has powers or is like a mastermind of some sorts, because this is so much like his Clark Kent. This is so much like the Peter Parker working at the newspaper facility, like building. I think this is like gonna become his cover, right? Like Radio Shack's such an innocuous cover, right?
I don't see Huey becoming superpowered.
Really?
To me, the way the show was built is vigilantes going against superheroes, and Huey somehow rises in the ranks of these vigilantes. If I remember the, you know, when they were showing us just the clips and giving us the trailers, that was kind of how I even got into wanting to see the show. I was a huge fan of Watchmen, and I felt like this was a take on the Watchmen. And that's who Huey reminded me of. This is the mild-mannered portion of his life. And then something really crazy happens, and he's going to have to become crazy, too. Because there's no way you're around a guy like Billy Butcher, and it doesn't
fine.
Rub off. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're going to get caught up in something.
Yeah, I feel like there are these moments when you feel like that he's kind of, like, thinking, right? And he gets this kind of anxiety for a second, right? And I feel like this is kind of the dark side coming up in him, right? When he realized, oh my God, they killed my girlfriend, now she's gone. Then you have that moment when he basically starts crying a little bit, and then he's so quiet, but you feel like his anger coming out, right? And I feel like this is going to be something even bigger for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I think they do it so right, where you hear the heartbeat and he's like...
Exactly.
And the ringing.
Then it like he has that moment. There were so many times this episode that I thought it was going to turn into his origin story. And he was going to awaken powers or something like that. Like in the convenience store where things just become sensory overload.
Maybe.
And he falls down. I thought that was like his Magneto moment where he's going to bend the fence.
Yeah.
And then when he's in the building and he's like planting the chip and he has to deal with all that stuff. And he like has to shake A-Train's hand and act like nothing's wrong. Like I was like... There's so many, like, origin story power awakening moments for this character. And none of them turn into powers.
His only superpower right now is anxiety. I will say something. When they showed David sitting across from him, the adjuster, the lawyer for Roy, and he slammed him. It was like, well, they killed her or whatever. That interaction, I thought that was real. And then they snapped back to his real reality.
It reminded me of Wanted, that show Wanted, or the movie Wanted.
The movie Wanted, yes.
Where it's like Shia LaBeouf, or I think it's Shia LaBeouf.
It's not Shia LaBeouf. It's the guy who plays... Exactly.
James McAvoy,
the guy who plays Professor Xavier.
When he like takes the keyboard and smacks the guy. I think that was real, or that was like an imagination.
It
but
was.
They do like the backtracking. I want to just point out that our chat is like the worst right now.
Why?
Because you described Huey in three parts, and Eric Scott says, Huey in three parts, his girlfriend in a million parts. Desmond,
why are we bad people?
Desmond Lawson immediately counters with, his girlfriend is an abstract painting now.
You guys are evil. I just want to let you know you're not good people.
But talking about the scene, we also have to say the special effects are amazing. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, honestly.
Solid.
I think they actually killed a girl. The way her hands were still in his hand. And then A-Train, the simple line, A-Train learning by, I got to keep running. I got to keep going. Like, that was brilliant. It definitely drew me in to the show, bar none.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was in the middle of the road.
I didn't expect it. And that, even something that simple where we do know there are cover-ups. This is a company that's covering up. This is big business. This is everything in one show. It's billions. I mean, I don't know how to express how amazing it's coming off.
I just hope they keep it up. Like, I really want the whole season to be this good.
How many episodes do we get?
I think 10.
I think they'll be able to keep it up. Honestly, because
Ooh, Ryan's bringing up the image right now, if you guys are watching on YouTube, of the hands.
Yeah. I think they do because I don't know... I could watch the show right now. I feel like I could just continue to watch the show.
Hey, some people only get one thing to remember their ex by. He gets two.
You're a bad person, too. Let's talk Billy Butcher.
Love this guy. I think, honestly, he just says what he wants. You know, he's like straight to the point, right? And I also like that he has kind of, I think it's an Australian accent, right? Sounds like an Australian accent.
I think
right?
it's, yeah, like Australian it's like or
his,
New Zealand. It's
like his accent that he has actually usually anyway. And I really like this guy. I think he knows what he wants to do, right? I think he there's no limit for this guy. And he says a lot of curse words and stuff like that. And I think that makes the show even very funny to me because a lot of people always trying to basically, you know, don't talk about the F word or the S word. And he just says what he wants, right? He makes everyone understand, hey, I want to damage, I want to destroy these guys and I do whatever it takes. And then talking to him, talking to this guy, I think it's a like it's a kind of a contrast. Right, Billy Butcher and Hughie. Like, how do you call his
Huey.
Name? Huey. Oh my God, the German name. Huey.
I feel like Carl Urban was like, they were like, hey Carl, do you want to do another Judge Dredd?
Great wanna, actor, by
or,
the way.
Or do you want to be Judge Dredd in a superhero world?
Mm.
Sheesh.
Because that's basically what he is. He's like Judge Dredd in a superhero world.
And if he's like a teacher, almost. You know, he's educating this guy of what he should do to get. Where he wants to
he's
be.
An FBI agent.
That's how it feels like.
He's an FBI agent with the badge and then tells the doorman he's a cop. Huey picks up on that.
Right.
What were your takes on that?
Oh, I thought he was lying immediately when he says an FBI agent.
He flashed the badge, though.
He flashed the badge, but I'm like, this isn't an FBI agent. This is just like a dude who's... Because I know the concept of the show that is...
The vigilante.
Vigilantes.
Exactly.
So, like, because you go into it with knowledge of, like, the trailer and stuff, or knowledge of, like, vigilantes, I thought if he was a cop, he was an ex-cop who still had his badge, and he was using that. Or, like, an FBI agent, he just had his badge still, but he definitely wasn't in the service
I think
anymore.
He says that at some point, actually, even in the first one.
I don't know.
Yeah, he says
but
that.
He was a former FBI agent. I don't know what to believe about Billy Butcher. I want to know where his dislike and disdain of supers comes from.
Exactly. I was always thinking about when I watched the first episode, I was like, where is he coming from, and why does he really hate these people so much, to be honest?
I mean, I don't know if you need, like... I mean, we're going to get a backstory eventually, I'm assuming, but, like, do we need more than just that scene in the bar where they're just acting like they're gods of humans and just assholes?
Yeah, but there has
to
be, like, a personal...
Or are they just acting like... people do in bars if they could. I mean, let's not act like we don't have swinger bars, which I've never been to, Mom.
Of course
but
not.
I just want to know. Here they are at this bar. He's obviously, he finds Huey, tracks Huey down, realizes Huey can be recruited for this mission, and then we have no one else. I was expecting a team to show up. I was expecting him to drive Huey to a squad like, we're the vigilantes and we try to stop these. We've all been wronged by soups.
What did you think of Billy's first interaction with Huey, though? Because he, like, introduces himself by asking him, how many nannies shake babies? And it's an interesting question, like, the more you look at it, because it's a direct comparison to, like, a profession that's meant to be there to help that goes against the grain of everything it stands for.
That's a great take on
it. And it's kind of like every time he talks to Huey, he's slowly introducing more concepts of everything that you think about these supers is the opposite for the majority of them.
And we see that. Ezekiel is the preacher who's like, pray the gay away, and then we see him being debaucherous with two men. We see that. And Billy is trying to expose the supers.
Yeah, we see like tons of people in there, lots of debauchery, sex in the air, levitating sex.
That I would do.
Telekinetic power, putting drinks on tables. We see a guy who I guess is like Ant-Man, can turn big or small, turn small and swan dives into a woman's vagina.
Yes.
I mean, they're boys being boys, I guess.
But they're not all boys. Let's remember that. Even the concept of the boys is this is the special group. This is the protected, the frat boys. They're just, as you said, boys being boys, but they're superheroes just being
superheroes,
quote unquote, in the least super of ways. And so we get a concept of Billy Butcher, who we find out, and this is the pairing. Huey and Billy are the Batman and Robin of vigilanteism?
Yeah, kind of. That's why, yeah. I still see him as the teacher, to be honest, guys.
Cut off is using his squint power.
You know?
He doesn't like the Batman Robin. He doesn't like it.
I don't like it.
You need something more.
I can't come up with anything better right now.
You can't think of something better right now. I'm telling you.
It's the Mermaid Man and Barnacle Just kidding.
Obviously, we love this episode. We can't wait for more. We're going to get into episode 2 coming up. Let's get into a top 3 superhero deaths in movies.
So, we have today a top 3 for you guys. Sure. We always like to do a top 3 at the beginning of a show, and we also will do one on the finale of the show. But today, our top 3 is the top 3 superhero deaths in movies. And you guys can disagree with us. You guys can agree with us. I know Tehran might take issue with some of these. But if you haven't seen Endgame, this is going to be a big spoiler for you. So you might want to go see Endgame.
Who hasn't seen Endgame?
I feel like we've given it enough. If you're watching The Boys, you've probably seen Endgame. Mm. You've probably seen Logan, and you've probably seen Watchmen. Right?
Yes.
So none of these are going to be spoilers. Our first on the list is going to be Wolverine and Logan. Honestly, I would say this is number 3 for me. Watch Wolverine and Logan. It's a really powerful death scene. It's a character we've seen for years and years and years, growing through Hugh Jackman being kind of jacked to being super Hugh Jackman, and then like ultimate Hugh Jackman, and now he's just old jacked Hugh Jackman, and then he dies to save the little girl in Wolverine, which I thought was a phenomenal story. I think that movie's like one of my top 10 movies, superhero movies. And then you go to our number 2, which is Rorschach in Watchmen.
Love Watchmen.
Which, yeah, I think is the most most comparative to this show,
yeah,
in terms of Rorschach represented everything that Billy Butch is basically preaching in this show, in terms of the heroes, or the superheroes should not have the power to dictate humanity and dictate how people live their lives, and they shouldn't be above the law. And obviously at the end of that, Professor Utonium, or... That's from Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan.
I was like, hurt? I mean,
that hurt my heart.
It's close, though. It's close.
Dr. Manhattan kills Rorschach to prevent him from spilling the truth of what he knows,
right,
because he doesn't. He thinks that humanity being aware of everything is worse than them being blissfully ignorant of what these people are capable,
sure,
of. And then, of course, I think number one, and maybe in 10 years this will change, but fresh on the mind, Robert Downey Jr.'s Iron Man in the end of Endgame. Super impactful hero death.
Oh, hold on. Iron Man dies?
No, Tony Stark dies. Not.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Iron,
yeah,
Man lives on forever.
Okay, forever. For okay, sure.
Oh, my God.
Tony Stark's death in Endgame, because it was completely emotional. It was a character that started the franchise and started the modern-day Marvel Universe for what we know it is to be. The Hulk tried several times, but Iron Man, I believe, is the first movie that solidified Marvel as the place to watch comic book movies in theaters.
Is no one going to say Quicksilver's death? No. Age of Ultron?
It was a runner-up. And
a runner-up? Oh, I see what you did there.
Quicksilver also dies in Days of Future Past, I believe.
Quicksilver just dies in everything he's in.
He
dies.
But I also have to mention that Iron Man didn't have to die in Endgame because Captain Marvel didn't need to pass him the gauntlet. She could have just used it herself. But anyway.
Whatever.
No, I like it, though.
Hey. Steven's been waiting. He's been holding on.
No bug up my ass about it at all.
You have no idea how many things that he was like, but why did they do this? They do mention specifically supers are like cops. They can't be charged for damages while on their job, which is a strong statement to make, especially in today's climate.
Especially for a privatized corporation. Yeah,
exactly. Maybe file a wrongful death. I mean, we get that. And before we go on to our news and gossip, which we have an amazing news and gossip for you, we do have to give a nod to Simon Pegg as Huey's dad.
Hello, I'm Simon Pegg.
That was exactly how he sounded.
Son, you are weak. You are not a fighter.
He says, you don't have fight. You never have.
You've never had fight, son.
Yeah. We definitely have
this
to
is
give
my
that
weird
nod.
American accent.
That is.
And that's you good. Need to sign this check. $45,000 is a lot of money, son. I'm Simon Pegg. You've seen me in Star Trek.
That is a great Simon Pegg voice in The Boys impression. I don't know how far it's going to get you in Hollywood, but on this panel, it'll take you very
got
far.
Got me to this panel.
Let's get into some news and gossip, please.
Oh, my God. The news. Got me.
We're blowing your minds. Please.
Yeah. So what we have for the news is that, I mean, we watched the first episode, right? We all love it. But what happened before it was actually starting, they already announced that they're confirmed for season 2 already, even before the first show aired, which is kind of crazy. I think.
Thank goodness.
I mean, honestly, that's amazing. That's the commitment, right? From Amazon.
It's not just that. Here's my biggest problem is that I hate getting into shows and then them getting canceled. And that's actually a huge fear of mine. Now, with shows on cable and television, we have Netflix to come and smarten up and collect the bones of the ones that we want resurrected.
Right.
But with something on Amazon, I was afraid that this was going, I was going to get addicted, which I already am, yeah. and it was going to go nowhere. So when I heard season two is already announced before it was even released, I was relieved.
I mean, I could definitely see it as a big show for Amazon in the future, long term, to be honest. And we just have this Twitter post coming up also from the showrunner, Kevin Kipke. And he basically like posted that from Comic-Con. I've been to Comic-Con like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago with all the cast and the crew. And he was just like, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit drunk. So he was very like straight to the point, guys, I'm drunk, but I can't wait. It's just 1 week out. And he basically mentioned that already, that they got an announcement. They're going to have a season two, which I feel like makes it also very human from a behind the scenes perspective. I think the show, honestly, is really like how the showrunner really is. I think he wanted to really like make a point and say, hey, you know what? That's my sense of humor. I have the sarcastic sense of humor in a way, and I want to put that into the show. And you can feel it.
I mean, me, Tehran and I on other after shows have had this conversation a few times in that to make good TV, it's an atmosphere on set.
For sure.
To make good TV, the cast have to care, the crew have to care, and the creators have to care.
100%.
When you throw a showrunner on a show for a paycheck, the show is going to be canceled immediately.
Exactly.
Because you have to care. And it shows. Like, the details in the show are so, so small. Like, I thought it was great that, because there's scenes that they set up that could very easily just be a quick scene. When he grabs the electrical thing to shock him, could have been a quick scene where he grabs the electrical thing. They add that moment. They have Carl Urban kick him into it. It gives them more dialogue. They have they
the blood splatter.
Right.
The blood splatter. The patterns.
Amazing on the face and everything.
That was awesome.
You can tell when they take their time to make something the best version it can be, as opposed to just one right through and being done with it.
Yeah, exactly.
And this show, from what I've seen so far, I'm in.
Right.
And also, it's always nice to know we have a season two, because I could be hosting with you guys for the next year.
Okay, don't touch me, cut off. But I will say I will say this. Getting a season two gives the cast and crew a little room to breathe.
Yeah.
They get a little room to breathe, and it also means that they start the creative process now. They don't wait till the end of the season and then have a deadline that comes up short. This is, they have time to make another amazingly good season. And as from everything we've seen in episode one, if they continue on this path, this is an amazing show.
A lot of shows you see, there's probably like 4 to 5 years of development into the first season arc, and then a lot more into the pilot to figure out like what is the right steps to take in the pilot. Then it gets picked up halfway through, and you have to figure out, you have like less than a year to get to filming, and then you have to release it the next year.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like in all circumstances, if shows waited 2 years between each season, they'd be much better. But we're humans, and we don't have patience.
And we saw what happened with Game of Thrones.
I mean, I have one more topic, guys. I just wanted to close that the first one. I got one more, one very, very important one. But I just wanted to say they're actually shooting already season two right now in Toronto right now, and they're going to wrap it up in November 1st already. So they're doing it right now.
Probably getting it next April.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's actually huge.
That's awesome.
That's what I'm saying when we say big news.
I definitely wanted to know how long it's going to take. But the second topic I wanted to talk about is a little bit more about the sex and the violence topic, guys. And I deeped a little bit more into it. And the crazy thing happened, because we talked about how they basically do all these scenes and how they come up with the ideas. The scene where the Deep is letting his pants down was actually not in the script. And I found an article that you see right now, the actor Chase Crawford, who plays the Deep, didn't even know about it. So what happened is they came on set before they started doing that scene and said, hey, Chris, you know what? We wanted to add that specific scene right now because it's in the source material and we want to do that right now. It's not in the script, but you're just going to let your pants down right now and just do it with her, okay? And he was like, oh my God.
I'm terrified of you right now, Ben.
No, that's serious. And I was like, whoa, he didn't know about that. And he also says that in the article, it was very uncomfortable for him to do that. But they said, you know what? It's a very important scene. This specific twist, we need that, because the source material was always talking about it, so we want that in the script now.
It's interesting that they had that. We saw penis in the show. We saw a tan line butt.
But that just shows me that, you know, even if you're on set already and you feel like as an actor, oh my God, I have it all down, I'm ready to go, people can come along and say, hey, you know what? We want to add that right now. You just have to have your pants down. And you have to be prepared as an actor.
If Starlight knew about it.
Well, no one knew about it.
I mean, I don't want to be a dick about things, but like, let's be honest. If the actress for Starlight showed up on set and they said, hey, this isn't the script, but we need you to drop your pants for this scene, that's not really that acceptable. Like, that's really messed up.
It is kind of a very interesting situation, let's put it that way.
But it did add a strong dynamic to the scene. It did make it a lot more, especially since they didn't show the act.
It wasn't...
The concept was, we saw that, we knew what happened, and we felt dirty just seeing what we saw.
Exactly.
So it was better that it was done this way. It was actually done in, and I can't say this any more wrong, the most tasteful of ways to do this and still give us all of the horrible negative emotions we were supposed to feel.
Any form of nudity should have a reason. This wasn't like superfluous for no reason, which I think is what we're saying.
100%. And I have a feeling, now reading the article and we talk about it right now, I have a feeling they did that on purpose, maybe to not tell them, because they wanted to have the real emotion, the real reaction
from
them.
It worked,
you know, that's
for
me. That's what acting can be too, obviously. You don't have to be prepared, you just have to improvise that if someone comes up with an idea.
That's interesting.
So, and I think that's what happened, actually.
Our chat says, Renji, everyone seems to be happy. Amazon gave a second season to an upcoming series a month before it debuted. Everyone's super excited that this show is on Amazon as opposed to like CW or anything
100%.
Else, because it can do 100%. What it needs to do.
They can do it right. And that's what we love about streaming. I mean, we're coming off a season where Netflix has had the most award nominations of any streaming service, and now it's Amazon's time, and that's what they want this to be.
And we talked about it before the show. I just wanted to mention it. And you mentioned that to me before we had the show today. You said, like, Amazon needs this kind of show, which is a long-term show that people love to watch, and like, ongoing, right?
Well, I need my fix, that's for sure.
I mean, I agree.
Let's talk
I totally
special
agree.
Segment, worst-case scenario. Steven, of course, only from the mind of Steven Lemieux.
It's the worst-case scenario here because the boys are back in town. The Grindhouse feature today is Kitty Pryde.
So Kitty Pryde has the power of phasing. She can phase her whole body. Mm-hmm. She can phase parts of her body. And she can fall through floors if she's not paying attention or if she's under the influence of something mind-controlling or that makes her powers go out of control. What is the worst-case scenario for Kitty Pryde fighting people in a city? And how could civilians be hurt? Tehran, take it away.
I'm going to go with Kitty Pryde. Doesn't hurt anyone, but falls straight to the center of the earth, and then we have to reclaim her fried body.
We wouldn't reclaim it. We'd leave it.
We'd have to
leave it. Nobody would even know.
I was trying to be nice, but of course, Stephen Lemieux. Because her power just doesn't hurt others. She phases through things. Unless she phases into someone, and that would really suck. Like, she tried to stop an elevator door. You know when you're trying to get in and the elevator door is closing, and you reach in, and then the guy's standing right at the door. I hate those people. And you reach in, and you materialize inside, like, with your hand on his heart.
Exactly. Or that you don't even know that it was her. You know what I mean? I think you need a little bit of kind of recognition, right? That keeps you going, right? And I think, like, if she's, like, invisible, for example, but she does something beautiful for people and no one really knows about it, you know?
That's
hard on your ego. That would be hard on my ego. If I would be a superhero, I was like, I want people also to know about that.
He's the guy that films himself giving money to homeless people.
Exactly.
So what's the worst case scenario with her power, though, Ben?
What about that?
Yeah, her power went out of control, and what was the worst thing that could happen?
About for her? That's what I just said. For
that's
her.
Sweet.
I mean, of course, because she's going to help these people anyway, but think about her feelings if she's helping someone.
Well, think about her feelings if she's at the core of the earth.
Of course. Yes.
Okay, so here's my pitch on
I know you're going to have something.
Here's
so
my pitch
wait.
On the worst thing that could happen with Kitty Pryde's powers. Phasing has to do with quantum physics and every atom in your body phasing in and out. Technically, there is a percent chance that I could run into a wall and phase through it. There is literally a percent chance based on physics that that could happen. It is such a minuscule chance that it's never going to happen, but it could. I think that her atoms phasing through people could hypothetically cause super terrible cancers in them, the likes of Chernobyl. And also, I feel like her atoms could throw everyone's atoms out of whack and basically take them out of the space-time continuum. So let's say she runs through somebody. 10 years later, he's going to die. And let's also say she's shaking hands with somebody. She trips, accidentally phases him through the ground, and leaves him Jimmy Hoffa'd.
Would you rather that or her see you as being the guy who didn't keep the elevator door open? Let us know in the comments below. Until then, let's phase in and out of where people can find you, Stephen Lemieux.
You guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux and producing Maria Menounos' show every Monday called Better Together. There's a new episode up today with Alyssa Goodman, who talks about autoimmune disorders and staying healthy. Check it out on iTunes and Apple Podcasts by searching Better Together.
Can't wait to do that. Ben Schnau.
Awesome. Yeah, you can also find me on Instagram, Ben Schnau, or at Ben Schnau. Now, and what happened, actually, I just got the confirmation today that a movie that I directed and acted in it was basically officially selected for an award.
That's
so check it out. It's called Against All Odds. It's a very interesting story. I don't want to spoil it for you guys. Get on my Instagram account. You're going to see all of it.
That's amazing. Great. And of course, I am Teron Literally, and I am Teron all across the board. And you can find me hosting and paneling on a slew of other AfterBuzz After shows, because your favorite TV shows are my favorite TV shows too. Until next time, we're talking Amazon The Boys. We'll be right back. Let's watch this episode. We'll see you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners.